Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
And welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And I'm sure I've mentioned this a couple of times on this podcast that I am very interested in sort of traditional diets, partly because it doesn't then involve me having to do, you know, calorie counting or buy really expensive products, but also partly because it's like, but it works, right? Like, it's got, like, centuries of proof. I don't even need, like, modern-day medical science. It's, like, centuries right there. They never had any, you know, heart disease or diabetes or tooth decay or enter thing here. So I've read a couple of them, but I know there are some really big, like, name bestseller books about them that I haven't read. And I remember there was one, I want to say it's Blue Zones, but I could be wrong, where I was just sort of skimming through it, and they listed it by, like, location. And so it's like, oh, Mediterranean island, you know, in Greece. Yep, got it. Okinawa, yep, got it. Place up in, you know, the mountains of Peru. Yep, I kind of get that. Loma Linda, California. Wait, what? I'm sorry, what? You said what now? You can't have a place in America. The whole point of this is that the American diet is terrible. How do you...
And how do you say that one place in America represents the American diet?
One very... I was like, is this a misprint? Did I, like, pick up a bad copy of this book? What is going on
you
here?
You picked up the one copy that has the typo.
Right. This was an early draft, and then the editor was like, yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. But no, this is actually a thing. So Loma Linda, California, it's very specific. Loma Linda, I don't know that you could do this in like random place in Missouri. Loma Linda, California is home to one of the highest concentrations of Seventh-day Adventists in the U.S.
Okay.
Which just when I found this out, I was like continuing to be the, did I pick up the wrong copy? What? What does it have to do with anything?
Didn't realize that Seventh-day Adventists had a specific diet.
They do. Very interestingly. I don't know too much about Seventh-day Adventist period outside of this diet. So Adventists only exist as diet people for me. I do apologize to that religious community. I just only know about the diet because I was just like, what are you talking about, Loma Linda? I'm from California, and I can tell you right now, my diet is nowhere near healthy. So what do you mean? So yeah, Adventists, they have a number of principles that they follow, which is part of why they're known, especially for having fitting up in that sort of places where people live longer. Okay. So you definitely see that with like the Mediterranean diet. You definitely see that in Japan. You also see it in this Adventist, I'm going to go with enclave, in Loma Linda. So the 8 health principles that they use are the health principle of nutrition, the divine power principle, which is religious, but we're not going to go into that because this is the health and wellness podcast. The exercise principle, the rest principle, the abstemiousness. I really cannot say this properly. I have tried several times as I was reading it, and it's just abstemiousness.
Right? Okay. Abstemiousness.
A-B-S-T-E-M-I-O-U-S-N-E-S-S. For those who want to look it up, because I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it somehow.
Abstemiousness.
Oh, that sounds so much better. I'll make Sarah say it.
We'll go with that.
That principle, the fresh air principle, the water principle, and the sunlight principle. So most of those are self-descriptive. We will get to the one that Sarah is going to say a little later. But for the most part, because, you know, I did sort of title this Adventist diet, we're going to talk about the health principle, which is nutrition. So Seventh-day Adventists actually typically follow a sort of vegetarian diet.
Okay.
And
I didn't know any of this about them.
Right?
I'm fascinated.
I kind of want to just like go to be like strange tourist with my fanny pack and my camera and go to Loma Linda and take like, I feel that sort of like, what is this about that place? Just be like the strange tourist. But can you be like, you know, stereotypical American tourist in America?
Sure.
That's getting a little meta. But so anyways, whole grains, fruits, vegetables, these all form the base of the Adventist diet. And this does stem from their religious beliefs. According to Adventists, any food or drink you consume should honor and glorify God, which means not consuming any foods that have caused suffering, like meat. That's why they're vegetarian.
Okay.
They do draw this from certain books of the Bible, but I don't remember what they are, and we're not going into the religious aspects, but just know it is based off of their religious beliefs, but it does then lead to essentially a vegetarian diet, which research has, you know, a number of times shown to be quite healthy.
Right.
Okay. So they also believe that meat, alcohol, and tobacco are all essentially equally bad. So they don't do either of those either. And the only meats they do have, and this is, I read a number of things where they basically get into different Adventists might do different things as, you know, individuals just do. Likewise with their health. So some are like no meat whatsoever. But for those who do eat meat, they only eat clean meats. Mm-hmm. So I guess this is like kosher.
Okay.
But so
they're,
like,
they're going from an Old Testament perspective.
Right. Yeah. So they don't eat pork and they also don't eat shellfish, which I totally knew about the pork thing. I didn't know about the shellfish thing. But I can get that if the idea is, you know, quote unquote, clean meats. The thing's living in its own shell. Got it. Not that we eat a lot of turtles in America, but I'm just going to assume turtle might also be off the menu there because of that same reasoning of...
I'm sorry. That was just... I wasn't expecting you to go with turtles.
Well, because shellfish...
My brain was wandering through the Book of Leviticus and the verses on shellfish, and then you were talking about turtles, and I was like, whoa, back to the moment.
See, you have the Book of Leviticus to reference. I don't know it that well, so I went to turtles.
That's exactly what it is. I like it.
So it has been proven by medical research that a preventative vegetarian diet can lower your risk of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, obesity, and high blood pressure.
All good things.
Which is partly...
To lower your risk of, sorry. Just wanted to make sure I was clear that I wasn't saying those are all good things.
Sorry. I don't know why that's so funny. I didn't get it until you started to explain it. And then, yeah. But yeah, so that would explain partly why they showed up on this whole, you know, strange enclave of people who live a long time because they're following this diet that basically cuts out all these things that will kill you early. So eggs and dairy are another one of those sort of individualizing things. I feel I need to come up with a better word. Adventist individual beliefs.
Personal choice.
See, this is why Sarah's here, to say words I cannot pronounce and give me better terms for things.
Well, I don't, that's not usually my role. Usually I'm right there with you going, that word, you know, it starts with an M.
Yeah, that one. But yeah, so some eat it, some don't. But those who do eat it also follow the idea that these are things that should be consumed in moderation. And this helps because it then, you know, controls your cholesterol better.
I wonder if they have specific guidelines on how those animals then should be raised. You know, if you're working toward a cruelty-free system, then, you know, if they're free-range chickens, if, you know, there's all kinds of things that go into the raising of animals that you will use the produce from.
A
random thought.
No, it is. That's very interesting. I did not see anything specifically on that of, like, you know, cage-free versus traditional eggs, but you do kind of imagine if the idea is suffering free, only the chickens that, you know, I'm now thinking of those early Happy Cows come from California commercials where they're like roaming free.
Yeah, I was picturing chickens running through the fields with the wind
right,
in their hair.
Exactly.
Not that they have hair, but
and then getting distracted by something because again that Happy Cow commercial.
Yes.
So but continuing on with things they do eat, legumes and beans also allowed in moderation. However, anything containing salt, sugar, and cholesterol should be consumed only in very small amounts and only very occasionally.
Wow.
Which, again, all of health suggests this, but
they're
just coming at it from such an interesting perspective.
And this is really pretty strict.
It's not, actually, is it?
Well, I mean, when you... I mean, plant-based, which a lot of people do, but if you are not someone that does plant-based, if you're looking at this from, you know, your omnivore perspective or your, you know, your mainly carnivore perspective, right, of a lot of people,
every meal and the main idea,
you might look at this and, you know, we get a little obsessed with salt and our meals, and sugar is yummy.
Sure is.
I haven't had sugar in a while, and I'm just thinking, yay, sugar. So, I mean, just looking at it from that perspective, some people might look at this and be like, no.
Pass, completely pass.
Right. But yeah, it really is, you know, I can definitely see the health benefits just by going through what you've talked about so far.
And it's backed up by both science and religion. So nice. Either way, whichever one you want to come at it from, all good. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, where today we are talking about the Adventist diet. And I do just want to say that's just what I'm calling it. It's not like a brand name.
Right.
It's the diet that most Seventh-day Adventists tend to follow, but it's not like copyrighted, I don't think.
I don't know. But I'm sure if you Googled it, you'd still get results that would lead you to information if that's what you were wanting.
Oh, yeah. Very, very easily. A lot of people did just shorten it to Adventist diet because that's simple. And semi explains what it is, unless you, like me, were like, what? Adventist and health reasons and diets and Loma Linda? What's going on here? In which case, fun. Fun Googling.
I'm intrigued because I was just looking them up during the break, and they were founded in 1863 in Michigan. And so to have the largest population on the complete opposite side of the country, I'm intrigued as to what their migration looked like.
And I'm still back to the Happy Cows commercial.
Happy Seventh-day Adventists come from California.
Right, exactly. Like, and those commercials started with them leaving Wisconsin. So in that general area, we hate that area. It's cold. It's miserable. We all come to California, don't we? Isn't that how it works? I don't know. I was born here.
And believe us when we say we are not mocking Seventh-day Adventists. It was
like, we're mocking the Happy Cows commercial because those are fun.
Yes.
Yes.
More tongue-in-cheek, not mocking. Promise.
Yes. But so anyways, you had mentioned before the break that it seems sort of strict, especially with the no meat thing. But that is, I think that's definitely a growing trend now, if not like no meat ever. Certainly you start seeing like a lot of Meatless Mondays, I know, became a big trend.
Yep.
And sort of replacing meats with substitutions, I guess. But there's actually, that I saw that where some Adventists do that a lot and others didn't recommend doing that. But it wasn't because of the, like, you're faking yourself out, but you're still eating a thing that tastes like bacon sort of thing. But it was more for, like, the health reason of this is still heavily processed. And we're, you know, we want to cut out things that have salt, sugar, cholesterol. We want to cut out, you know, a lot of the processed stuff and eat more of the natural whatever. So it was more for the cutting out processed things, which is, again, I'm pretty sure just my lifelong goal.
So, like, tofu, would they say that tofu was overly processed?
They would, okay. But they wouldn't say no tofu ever. It would just be, you know, sort of limiting tofu. But they also believe in certain things about the way you prepare and eat the food. So along with, you know, much better natural, they like keep preparation simple. And the site I was looking at for this then went into a whole, I think the writer like must not really like French food.
Okay.
Because he at least twice like basically criticized, or she, I apologize, I don't remember what the gender was, at least twice criticized like heavy French sauces.
Oh, sure.
I was just like, really? I mean, I don't think I've had too much French food, but since the, you know, stereotypical joke is, the French much better and the British don't know how to do anything. And
right.
Since America, descended from Britain, I'm just like, What? Wait, how do you do that?
I'm just thinking that this is so anti-keto, you know, which is all about protein and fat.
So you would have a hard time. I now want you to go out to Loma Linda and be the strange tourist. See how that goes with like going in and being like, I want a keto thing.
Okay.
In the Adventist enclave. You'll have to let me know how it goes if you do that.
Although I'm liking this plan. If I, you know,
if you ever like screw keto, I want to do something almost completely opposite. No meat whatsoever.
Well, I've never been a big meat eater, so actually keto is difficult for me because it's like, okay, protein, peanut butter.
Well, this is good because then you would live a long time. So
yeah,
we want Sarah to stay around so she can say words I can't pronounce.
Aw.
But also, continuing with the way they believe about preparation, they believe that raw is often better than cooking. And I don't know that science has come out conclusively one way or another on this. I think it depends on the food. Mm-hmm. Some foods, you don't actually like get the nutrients until you cook it. But for a lot of foods, cooking it sort of kills the nutrients.
Right, which is why you should often steam vegetables as opposed to boiling them, right. You know, that kind of thing.
Probably don't fry them ever, but it tastes so good. But and some foods, you know, you can't eat until they're cooked because then they're poisonous. That always throws me off. I'm just like, but
who tried that the first time?
Right? That was my question.
Bob just died. Wait, what if I cook this first? Exactly. Who wants to try it now that I've cooked it?
Exactly. That was totally my thought. But they also say, eat the good stuff first. And for them, that means fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. which I buy. But on the other hand, I'm like, but it's not necessarily the most tasty thing on my plate. It's like I need sort of separate plates, like bring out the fruit and vegetable plate first. So I will then eat all of that and can sort of mentally trick myself that there isn't, you know, some really tasty, probably fried meaty thing and then bring that out. But they interestingly don't actually think you should eat fruit and vegetables at the same meal.
Oh,
which this is something about optimal digestion. Again, I don't know what the science says one way or another on that. So they suggest eating vegetables with two meals and fruit with one, which my not really eating fruit self is struggling to figure out how you do that with anything but breakfast. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a way, but my brain's just like, so fruit for breakfast, like that, you know, cereal commercial where you have everything on the table, right. Like that's what you do before school, and vegetables. But like fruit for dinner, what?
Sure. But I like fruits and vegetables. Although as a kid, I wasn't as huge of a fan of fruits and of vegetables as I got to be as an adult. And so I always ate my vegetables first. My siblings and I learned that if you ate them first, then you didn't have to try to cram them down cold, which just made them worse. And so I still sometimes, even as an adult, even as a person who loves vegetables, find myself like plowing through my vegetables first.
Right. I do that too, but only because the only time this ever really happens is at like Thanksgiving and Christmas. Because if I'm cooking for myself, it's something that's simple and goes in the microwave. It is not like multiple things of food. It's like the one dish. But at Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, other people cook, so there's actually there. And I remember reading a thing about eating the most watery thing first, so it like fills up your stomach. And that just tends to be vegetables because we have, you know, green beans. Right. So it's like, okay, cool, vegetables first, and then move on to turkey. Though again, not in Loma Linda, evidently. But they also suggest chewing your food slowly and savoring each bite, which is such, I don't even want to say old wives, like whatever, it's like old every civilization ever.
Yes.
Various and things about chewing 100 times.
Yeah, 35, for gastric bypass, I know when they talk to you about nutrition, they say chew at least 35 times, put your spoon down or your utensil down between bites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it depends on what you're eating. 35 times, you're like, there's nothing left.
Right.
It's just a guideline.
Eat food regularly and don't eat between meals, so no snacking. They also, for the side I was looking at, don't really do the whole thing we now have of like 5 times a day. Mm-hmm. It's still like 3 square meals and no snacks, which I'm still like, how do you do that? But that's not what I grew up with, but okay. Eating for your health, which I think is very interesting, partly just because I'm pretty sure biology is saying like, well, duh, but that's not ever how we think about food.
Right.
It's like, you know, foodies don't think, this is nutritionally sound.
We have such a crazy relationship with food nowadays. You know, I mean, we eat because we're bored. We eat because we're trying to, you know, we're going for comfort food. Just so many reasons we eat that aren't necessarily for health.
Right. So I always do, you know, pick for taste and then secondarily try and eat healthy. But health has not ever managed to top taste for me. It's a long uphill battle that taste is just standing at the top at and laughing. I am now visualizing a very like maniacal laughing.
Well, yeah, well, obviously it would be as you're struggling up the hill.
Right. But also to remember to consume a variety of foods every day. And this, again, is another thing that, you know, medical research has also completely backed up.
Mm-hmm.
Different things about eating your colors.
Eat the rainbow, yep.
Which I totally fail at because, again, everything I like is like processed carbs. So it's all some version of like tan. It's like, oh, pasta with, you know, potatoes. With one, I was just like, why? But fruits and vegetables, you know, can be definitely brightly colored. Yes. I'll go with that. Some of them too brightly colored to the point I'm like, that's food. Are you sure? That's alien looking. What is this?
You have issues, Stacey.
Issues. I do. Food is just, it's again, maniacal taste laughing at the top of a mountain. That's what it is. But because, you know, a lot of this, even though it's coming from a religious background, it is still, doctors are like, yes, please. I'm surprised that I actually have not heard about this before.
Yeah.
Like, ever before I saw this book. And I had read several different, like, oh, these are places where people live in the longest in the world, or traditional diets. And yet somehow this did not come up until this book, which I think came out only in the past couple of years, came out. It's just like, what? I actually like this. This is the one thing, even though I don't eat this way, it's like living vicariously through books of people who eat much better than I do. But it's just like, I've read a number of these things and yet somehow never came across any of this. I feel you're failing me, all books that ever talked about people who live long.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, the library is failed. She's like Hermione when the library fails.
It's not good. I'm not blaming the library. I'm blaming book publishers.
Oh, okay.
There's a difference. It's all the book publishers' fault. The library is doing the best it can with what it's got. It's all the book publishers' fault.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yes. So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. So at the beginning of the podcast, I did very quickly run through the 8 health principles that the Seventh-day Adventists follow. Most of those are pretty self-descriptive, you know, the rest principle, obviously, get rest. The exercise principle, obviously, get exercise, nature, etc. But there was the one that I will make Sarah say again.
Abstemiousness? Is that how I said it the first time?
You say it so well. What is this? I struggled so long. Sarah just makes me look incompetent.
No.
Oh. But so that word that I won't try and say again is an old word that basically means temperance or self-discipline.
Which makes sense because when I first saw it, I thought abstinence. But
me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by practicing temperance, that leads to people making smarter decisions, which leads to better health, which in turn leads to better overall lifestyle. And again, remember, the Adventists don't drink or smoke anything. So they're already like uber temperate on that. Is temperate a word?
I think so.
This is what Sarah's here for, is all the words.
But yeah, it could be completely wrong.
So for the Adventist, at least, the idea is that it's important to only eat the foods that benefit our bodies so that we can be effective in everything we do. Back to that sort of eat for your health as opposed to eat because it tastes good,
mm-hmm.
which I get. I totally get. And I absolutely buy. And I don't even need science to prove that to me because that just seems like, you know, well, duh. Tastiness. Like, I'm upset at nature. Why are the foods that I like not the foods that are good for me? This feels like a major fail of evolution.
Well, you have to actually kind of train your body. I mean, the first, you know, if you were to adopt a lifestyle like this, at first it would be ridiculously hard, and then eventually your body would start craving this stuff.
Yes,
you just have to make it through and not eat your beloved processed stuff.
Oh,
I know,
all my fried stuff either. But that's actually basically the tips I saw for this, is that the way to basically train yourself to have better self-discipline is to sort of go with one thing at a time. And once you've sort of mastered or beaten or kicked off the mountain where it was laughing maniacally, whatever it is, your sort of food lifestyle demon, then move on to the other one rather than trying to be like, okay, I'm going to cut out, you know, Everything. Unhealthy thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That is just setting That's yourself up to fail.
Yep.
Yeah. I do really admire people who can like go cold turkey on things. Like, I'm not eating any sugar ever again of any form. I'm just like, tell me your secret.
Right.
Indoctrinate me, please. Because I have tried even just like one thing of like, don't drink sugary drinks. And I'm still struggling really hard with that. How do you just be like, nothing of anything of this category ever again? It's just like, what? You don't even have like a ease into it, sort of, really?
Nope.
What? There are people who can do that.
Yes, there are.
Somehow. I don't know how they do it. But yeah, so learning to practice self-discipline in small areas of your life can help you achieve your goals and improve your lifestyle. And that's not just like not eating sugar, processed fried things, but even just other things you have in life. Of if you have, you know, maybe a shopping habit or I know I should get up and do the dishes, but I'm going to sit in front of the TV for 4 more hours. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, whatever it is, to have it sort of be like, I don't even want to say baby steps so much, but little molehills at a time.
Yeah, instead of tackling that mountain with whatever it is up there laughing at you.
Yeah, so, you know, take your little shovel and start digging it out. I kind of now just want a pickaxe to throw at that thing at the top of the mountain. Like, I am very impatient. I'm just like, can I just kick you off?
I'm just intrigued at how good you think your aim is, because I can't throw a pickaxe up at this, right. Especially up.
Yeah, my aim would be terrible. That's why, you know, again, my just even cutting out sugary drinks, never mind like cutting out other things of sugar, has been the sort of on again, off again goal for like 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start it and I'll be somewhat okay. And then I'll just be like, okay, I'm just going to have, you know, when I go to the movies, I'm just going to have one icy or something. And that just is like, remember how great sugar tastes. Isn't this wonderful? And then it's like, you know, icies for days. And
yep.
Back, not even back to square one, back to like square -5. It's just like stupid maniacal laughter.
I hear you.
And then my pickaxe is on the other side of the mountain. So I have to go get it and start all over.
Which is good, because then you have to hike up the mountain and then down the mountain and then back up the mountain.
Oh, I don't hike. I have to go around the mountain.
Oh, you're going around. Well, you're still moving. You're still moving.
I love how very off this metaphor has gone. It's like, it's still there and it still kind of makes sense.
You met us, right?
It's like, rather than a metaphor, it's like metaphor is A, B, C, and D.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we do.
That doesn't necessarily logically go from A, B, C. No, we could go from A, D.
F, C, B, H, mm-hmm. L. Yeah.
6.
Yes, exactly. 42. But yeah, so I do think the Adventist diet, very interesting. I mean, obviously it's mostly, you know, vegetarian, but also whole foods mixed with a bit of raw. There is an emphasis on, you know, raw foods as opposed to cooked foods,
mm-hmm.
and teetotaling, and I don't even know what the tobacco version of teetotaling would be. Is there a tobacco version of teetotaling?
Couldn't you just make teetotaling across the board?
Teetotaling.
I don't know.
Teetotaling and teetotaling, and then what? Process peep teetotaling. Just start putting, you know, letters with dashes in front as you do, as some people do. Totally do.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, so obviously this is for them coming from a religious background, but medical science is very much on board with most of this. I can't actually think of anything. So maybe the raw food thing, depending on how you do it, medical science might be like, ew, need to cook that.
But right.
Other than that, it's mostly like, yes, by all means, please cut down on meat and salt and sugar and processed foods.
And cholesterol.
And cholesterol. So all around, sounds like a really great diet, even if it was just sort of like, randomly in California, really healthy people. I love that that's how I discovered it.
Yes.
It feels almost like a story I'm going to tell my grandchildren. I was one day flipping through a book.
Oh, gosh. Grandma's telling a story again.
Right. That would imply me actually, you know, tackling my demon off the mountain. I'd have to get there for that to be a story. Otherwise, it's like, why do you tell me this? You still drink like an icy every other day. Grandma, what are you telling me?
Well, you're going to have children first. Then you can have grandchildren. Too.
Yes. You know. Or you just skip the step and adopt grandchildren. I don't know that that's how that works. But
sure.
And on that really, we're really off note, but very healthy diet. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.